Hey friends, welcome back to Lilith's Left Hand. It's your co-host Jessica, and I'm here with...
Hello, it's Emma. How are you all? How are you, Jessica?
I'm great, you know.
Good.
I think it's funny because you're just like, yeah, I'm great. Things are crazy and weird.
It's like, what we do. It's the tradition. And then when someone veers from that official response to that greeting and says no. So like in the UK, it's when you see someone you know or an acquaintance, you might say, you're right. That's like a hey. And the traditional response to a you're right should be, yeah, you.
Yeah.
But then it always throws you off when someone says, no, actually, I'm not. You're like, oh, for God's sake. Oh, no, what? You know, yeah. Just as an aside.
Well, like, also, people can say great and, you know, good.
Yeah, and not be.
And, but, or also be good, even though a bunch of crazy shit and is bad or weird or difficult has recently happened to them. They got to the point where they're like, I also still like my life in whatever way that I can like it. You know what I mean? And I just won't complain about the stuff I hate.
Like, well, you've got to look for the wins. Otherwise, life would be pretty darn sad.
I know. It's so annoying, though, to be such an optimist. You know, sometimes I think people are just like, ugh, shut up. Like, I'm sorry. But I still like my life anyway.
Yeah, same.
I'm like, it's my job. Even if someone curses me. Do, do, do. Our episode is about cursing.
Yes. You know, we were going to record this episode yesterday and we were going to do something totally different, but then we kind of got onto the subject of just talking about cursing generally and sharing funny stories. And then we thought, you know what? This is such good fun. We should totally do an episode.
Yeah, we were going to do an episode about something else and then we couldn't talk about it. We could only talk about curses.
Yeah. And you know what? I was just telling Jessica that this morning, so... I do use Twitter. I use it to share my writing and all of that stuff. But I can't use it for long bursts at a time. So I kind of use it as a kind of newspaper. So I wake up in the morning, you know, after I've, you know, done my outside stuff and, you know, settled down. I kind of have a look and see what's going on in the world. And, you know, just see what's going on. So this morning when I was doing that, I saw lots of tweets about cursing and hexing. So I don't know what had sparked it. I feel like I've kind of missed the loop. But I just thought it was funny because, you know, the whole...
Well, you just told me about it and I didn't know that. And I immediately think that that means, like, people are starting to see some of our, like, larger cultural curses right now. Like, all of these social, like, is hexing normal? Are curses normal? Well, like, I think that sometimes people mischaracterize them so that it's, like, one lady curse, like, oh, I don't like this person cursing them. When really... That is like kind of a gross metaphor for the fact that we all collectively together like mischaracterize people and the other. I mean, I think it doesn't happen all the time in one way, and it happens in this like weirder, larger focused other way all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love the topic of cursing and hexing. It's such fun, like, you know, all the serious aspects aside, because there are some serious aspects, but I just fucking love it, you know. I love the idea of taking back power, you know. But then, you know, I also have an English degree, and I can remember studying my English degree, and it's really interesting because when you talk about cursing and hexing, generally we have a rough idea about what we all mean, you know. But then when you start to study language, you begin to understand that even within the same country where everyone speaks the same official language, you know, words take on different meanings depending on who's using the word, who is being described by the word, whereabouts you are in that country, and all of those things have impact on our understanding. So, you know, even the terms themselves become kind of, you know, you kind of have to see what people mean when they say the word.
Yeah, because it definitely seems to me to have a connotation that is like very extreme.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's way more subtle and less extreme usually. People get, I think, really worried, like, so-and-so has just cursed me. How often is that happening?
And
if it did, how, like, what about you is going to allow that person to hex you and ruin your life?
I'm really going to love talking about all of this shit because this is my jam.
So what do you think? I mean, like, do you think Joe Schmo could curse me? Like, you know, do you have a relationship with Joe Schmo? Like, are you emotionally engaged with Joe Schmo? Or is he just some random dude you saw walking down the street? Those would have to be considerations, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know.
Because people aren't just running
around. If you're taking the effort, if you're making the effort to do any kind of spell work, whether that's baneful magic or, like, whatever, that's directed at someone else, then you've got a vested interest in that because of the sheer effort, right? Otherwise, if you weren't bothered, then why would you? So there's got to be something.
So what is the energy involved in yourself that is, like, really engaging in some sort of
way
with the other person?
Yeah. And then you also have to consider, so it goes back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago about the use of language. So it also must include what you consider to be baneful magic. So for some people, binding would be baneful magic. You know, there's even ethics around where like love magic, if you're into that kind of thing, falls on the scale of good or bad, you know.
Well, binding can be just to bind people from hurting.
Well, it can, but then there's also the ethical. Yeah, so then there's that argument. So what's it for? Is it defensive? But nonetheless, it's still baneful because you are still, supposing it works, of course. You know, if you know, it's the whole conversation about how ethical is it to affect how other people are, how to affect other people, to bind them, to restrict them. What are we talking about here?
So
it's like, you know, it gets wider, the conversation gets wider, and then you have to kind of decide what are you okay with?
You know, yeah, because like, some people have to only strengthen yourself so that you don't, is that like the opposite of what you're saying, right? So.
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of like grew up in a working class council estate, and where I grew up, you know, if someone, you know, if like you were getting picked on, you didn't dare go home and tell your parents you were getting picked on because the standard response would be you go out there and you beat them up, or, you know, you go out there and you fight back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so there's that aspect of it. So in my mindset, if someone's attacking me, I'm quite in my rights to defend myself. But other people aren't necessarily, you know, it's not that clear cut when you like look at all the issues. So, you know, when you talk about baneful magic, that's what I mean, when you kind of have to consider what people consider to be baneful.
You know what's funny? I feel like I think it's all permissible.
I know, right?
In my opinion. Because then, like, I'm sorry, but, like, we are engaging with other people, right? How are we finding these people to engage with in our lives and then becoming engaged with them in some way that they're going to then, you know what I mean? Like, we are making our own choices.
Yeah. And then the thing is, where do you draw the line?
Learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Well, it's also where you learn your lessons on what energies to take and how not to let people's idea, like, narratives project onto you, because you can, like, you don't have to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to learn it the hard way, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, you have to know where to draw the line, because in some respect, it's just life itself that each of us have an effect on something or someone, whether that's a good effect or a negative effect, you know. So whatever you do, even magically, you know, it's going to have an effect on someone.
I wasn't suggesting in any way that I'm actually like, I don't think I like, it's definitely not cool to me to like aggressively attack people magically, by the way. It's so, that's like the lamest thing I can think of, right? Like, ugh, how boring, attacking people magically that you're like, that you know what I mean? Defend, like, now doing a mirror box to so you can be like, dude, I don't, please stop projecting your shit onto me. Project it onto yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this. Or like, you know, binding people. What about putting people in the freezer, Emma? Can we put people in the freezer?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, it doesn't, you're just like trying to freeze the energetic.
I'm probably not the best person to ask, because for me, you know, I don't know. It's one of those areas where I have sometimes conflicting views all at the same time, you know, because consider this. So we've just talked about different meanings of or definitions of what cursing and hexing is, and, you know, who gets to define what is and isn't, you know, baneful magic. And for me, that also goes over into the whole idea of witchcraft and what you describe witchcraft as, you know, because witchcraft has become one of those things. Again, on Twitter, you often see all the time someone make a statement about what witchcraft is or about what witchcraft isn't, you know, and that's fair dues. But, you know, for everybody, that's different.
Yeah,
you know, for some people, witchcraft might have nothing at all to do with the devil. For other people, traditional witchcraft might have a lot to do with the devil, depending on what type of witchcraft you practice. Do you know what I mean? So it's a very broad area.
Yeah, I think people practice witchcraft without knowing that they're practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, even the term witch has various different connotations depending where on in the world you are and in what context you're using it. So all of those things need to be taken into account, because for me, the idea of witchcraft is intrinsically tied up with other things as well, but it's also linked. You can't separate it from Malefica. So, you know, it just is. And part of that comes from, if we look at the history of, say, for example, the witch trials and the people who were accused of practicing witchcraft and the crimes charged against them. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it gets real, real deep. So like last year, I went to Pendle in Lancashire in the UK, you know, like the Pendle witch trials. And it was so interesting and I learned so much. But, you know, you're looking through all of the things that the women, whether you believe they were witches or not, whether they were witches or not, all of the things they were accused of were baneful workings, you know. And we see it all over where people are accused and tried and punished for practicing witchcraft. It's always bad stuff, okay? It's never for, like, personal gain and riches, because these people are always poor. So, for example, the Pendle witches were, like, so poor. We can't today comprehend, you know, well, we probably can because people are still poor all over the world. But do you know what I mean? The level of poverty is, you know, we have no understanding of it, even though we're, you know, many of us are poor ourselves. And, you know, so what they're accused of, it's never kind of making themselves rich, or as you might do if you were fucking, you know, struggling to survive. It's always kind of turning someone's milk sour or blighting someone's crops. Or, I mean, fucking hell, if you were that powerful, surely you'd use it instead to, I don't know. So whether you believe it or not, but it's always, so the history of doing those baneful workings, the history of Malefica and witchcraft for me are really intertwined. So when I consider cursing from a witchcraft perspective, that's one part of it, you know, that historical perspective.
Well, I mean, it also seems kind of like a really important aspect of being someone that lives on the, like, the outsides of what is normal.
Yeah,
like you're connected to normal, like on the Venn diagram, you intersect, but you also like live life in a kind of like from a different perspective, like a more animistic perspective.
Yeah,
and so
totally.
You see things in a different way, but people that see things in a different way are the other, right? Like
yeah.
Nobody likes to hear about your reality is not the same as theirs. Right.
Yeah. So,
and
if you look
no matter
at the,
what your opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you look at the Pendle witches, for example, they were like, I think I watched a program on it, and I think like the old lady of the matriarch of the family, her husband had died, leaving her destitute with like kids to feed, and they were really poverty stricken. You know, and Lancashire is in like the north of England, and in winter it would be like freezing cold. It's like high up in the hills. Pendle's lovely. If you ever get the chance to visit, like, you totally should. It's beautiful. But you know, you could imagine how hard it would be in those times. So those women were already poor. They were already outside of that community. They were already othered. And so when the accusations of witchcraft came, which of course happened because misfortune befell someone, and of course who gets the blame? The person who is othered, obviously.
Yeah, so the whole community others this other person.
Yeah, and then it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning about, you know, the curses or the idea of curses being everywhere, when really, is it just fucking bad luck? For example, we were telling stories yesterday, and I won't mention any names. For example, I have a friend, and I can remember them. It wasn't that long ago either, telling me a story. And they came into work and they were like, oh, you know, all of this happened, you know. And anyway, turns out they'd seen some blood on their doorstep. You know, they live on like an estate in, you know, in the town. And anyway, there's blood on the doorstep. And then she said, oh, I thought I'd been cursed because she'd been having like a rough time of it lately. And, you know, when everything just seems to kind of be one thing after the other, not massive, but you think, oh, for God's sake, what's going on? So anyway, the blood on the doorstep was kind of like I'll call it a light bulb moment. And so she's like, oh, what if someone's cursed? And I'm like, well, you know, our town isn't massive. There's not that many people, I would imagine, who practice witchcraft. I'm sure no one's cursing you. I'm sure you haven't done anything to piss anyone off. So anyway, her neighbours had CCTV. So she decided that she'd ask them to have a look, just in case anyone had been like pissing around, whether it was just like kids or... And so she has cats. And it turns out a cat had caught a rat in the night and had brought it home and then left it on the doorstep before deciding to like chew it up underneath the neighbour's caravan or something. So, you know, the idea of seeing curses everywhere, that's what... So if you imagine in like the 16th and 17th centuries, in like the winters of like northern England when everything was gloomy and horrible and miserable anyway, especially if you were poor, I bet it was even... worse than, you know, the idea that there's evil afoot, you know.
Yeah, and those people who are othered don't get like the support of the community already, you know, so they're already struggling more.
Yeah,
but they probably, I bet most of them were doing it on purpose, right?
Yeah,
because I feel that way about now. I feel like a lot of people just don't want to talk, and because people just want to live on the outside of, like, I don't want to look at Twitter. This shit's just like, I just want to see what's going on around, you know what I mean? Outside
yeah.
of the community of this. You're like, they always complain or they're always doing like blah, blah, blah. So they don't like hang out as much. They're like at home, like, oh man, I like my chickens, or like, I'm going to hang out with my dog. Because it's better than hanging out with all those annoying people. And then everybody thinks they're crazy and murders them.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. But, you know, the Twitter conversations today that I was looking at, they were quite interesting elements as well, because there was an important aspect that I related to straight away. And I can't remember who had who tweeted the reply. Anyway, so someone had commented saying that, you know, cursing, it's one of those things that hardly ever happens, but you wouldn't think it. You would think it happens all of the time. So, you know, and then someone replied, and it was really interesting because actually it's very true. And it, again, it depends on where in the world you are and the culture you are raised in, because for many other cultures, away from Eurocentric traditions and Western occult traditions, you know, many other traditions, it is a big part. So, for example, this person who had replied was referencing Mexican and magical traditions and practice. And, you know, the same is true in Obeah, for example. Cursing and hexing is common, you know. So
for protection or just for whatever you want?
Well, for whatever you want, particularly, well, so I can only speak from Obeah as I practice it. And like, you know, my I have Jamaican heritage. So my Obeah is very much influenced by Obeah as it's found in Jamaica. And so, for example, the Obeah practitioner, for example, they're guided by their own ethics and morals, you know. So it's up to them what they're willing to do anyway. But even with that aside, if you're doing work for somebody else, the idea is that if there's any comeuppance, it doesn't come back on you as the practitioner. You're just like doing your job. It goes back to the person who's, you know, wanting that, the person from who the baneful, you know, harmful intent is coming from. So that's one side of it.
But yeah, then it's their energetic exchange. It's them.
Yeah, and I've heard that also in, like, witchcraft as well. You know, when people who do, I call them professional witches, because if you're doing spell work for money, you know, it's your
job. Yeah, sure.
So people who are professional witches, if they, you know, and again, it's up to each individual what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. So there's that side of it. But then there's also the historical side of Obeah in particular. But I guess the historical side of any practice that is changed or springs up from colonialism and oppression, which Obeah did. So, you know, it found its way to the Caribbean via the slave trade, where the enslaved Africans brought their religious and spiritual and magical beliefs and practices with them. And it kind of merged with different tribes, with indigenous people, and transformed. And so if you look at the history of Obeah, how it was used in the fight against slavery, in the fight against, or even just the protection of enslaved women on the plantations, you know, if your master thought that you could kill him by whatever means, you're less likely to kind of be attacked. You know, he might leave you alone, you know, because you have to remember that conditions, many of the conditions where these practices were transformed and kind of were practiced with serious intent, they were in situations that none of us could probably imagine. So there's that side of it as well. So it's not sometimes just as easy as, okay, it's not common, because in a lot of traditions, it is a common feature.
Well, and it depends on what we mean by common and what we mean by hex and what we mean by, because it sounds to me, which I think is totally valid and makes so much sense, that everyone has a definition, like a different barometer for what that is.
Well, right? Yeah. Like if you look at Obeah, for example, now if you go to Jamaica, you know, you would be hard pressed to find many people who would say they were Obeah practitioners. You know, so finding someone who practices Obeah would be, they're not very common in themselves, mm-hmm. You know. So It's like, you know, when you see those fucking product surveys, those shampoo surveys or something, where it says 95% of the women agree that this shampoo, and then it has some amazing claim. And then at the small print at the bottom, it's like 85% of 30 women. You know? It's kind of like that a little bit, you know.
I love it. It's like the idea of a unicorn, right?
Yeah.
Like a rare thing that you can find to help you with whatever, energetically, just like a unicorn.
Yeah. But then I suppose as well, it goes back to the idea of, and particularly like left-hand spiritual traditions, the idea that you have the self-agency to decide. And, you know, if you buy into the idea that your will can affect things on the physical plane, then the idea of cursing is very valid anyway. And then again,
yeah,
how far do you want to go? I know people who, when they talk about cursing, and when it comes up as a discussion anyway, because it's interesting, isn't it? You know, everyone loves a bit of cursing. You know, some people, one of my friends used to say that she wouldn't do anything magically that she wouldn't be willing to do in real life. So like she said, she wouldn't murder someone in real life. So why would she use magic to do that? But then,
for sure,
you know, the idea also is that if you can't get that person back, or someone's pissed you off, or they deserve your retribution, and you have no other recourse, like you can't beat them up because you're weak, or you can't because you'll get fired, and or you don't want like the legal trouble and, you know, it being morally grey, you know, if you have no other recourse to get them back. And then I suppose the history of magic and witchcraft has been that it's been a tool of people who it has been their only weapon. So
yeah, so it just makes me laugh because so you have to make sure that it's at someone that deserves it, because their energy is awful and they were or it doesn't. I mean, like, I think it does. Like, I personally wouldn't do it, but I think that also we have to like learn how to be like really protective of our own energy. And so some of that stuff is really up to us. Because I don't like the idea that we are just like walking around like, oh. No, we're not. We're not walking around like victim to other people's perceptions of us. We're really
there's
not.
An aspect of reclaiming to it, certainly, isn't there?
Yes. So like it just makes me think about the story of that, your friend, because like her, you're saying like her life was like, she was having such a hard time in life in general. So like her energy was just like, I can't take any more of this. Ah! You know what I mean? So the energy of seeing that is like really matching. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What,
and you
now?
Know, I'm not
everyone's
saying
against me. Everyone, haven't we all felt that way before?
Yeah, and sometimes it's our own actions. I mean, I'm not saying it was in the case of my friend, but you know, sometimes if we've made some bad decisions, you know,
or what if it's just because like life,
or
got
sometimes
really
it's
horrible,
just fucking life,
and we're just like exhausted.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just us. Sometimes, like with the burnout that we all feel, especially like over the last few years, because. Like for most of us, life hasn't really changed except for it's gotten harder. You know, for a lot of people liked it when they were on furlough, for example, in the first lockdown, because they were getting paid like 80% of their wages to stay at home. Oh no, that's terrible. For, you know, if you have a nice home and you like staying in it, it's not bad at all, you know. But for a lot of people, particularly poor people and people who work in service jobs, so like shops and those, and like care homes, you know, those people who normally are seen as low skilled and low paid, all of a sudden became essential workers, right? So they've got, and also got no actual benefit from.
It's the people that get treated like they're robots. You know what I mean? Like, we don't actually care. Like, you're a robot.
Yeah,
you know, like, you make things work by doing the things,
and now, that's just the normal status quo. So with like all of the COVID stuff and all of, like, you know, it's been a few years.
It has, but I think it's, I think it's that's why I think it's important to talk about this like whole cursing and hexing thing, because I seriously do think that, like, getting all the, like, if you look at a lot of social media, there's just a lot of othering going on. It's all, it's like very divisive, and it does really honestly feel to me like a hex.
Yeah.
It feels like baneful magic, because, and it's like taking people's energy and agency away from themselves and putting it all on this other person, you know? And that, like we were talking about, like when you're at, like, when you're constantly in that state of like agitation, or like you're so upset, somebody's gonna ruin me, ah, you know, or I'm gonna die, then like the energy that you're putting out is that shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, why wouldn't it collectively get so bad? Like a wildfire catching fire until like somebody, the scapegoat
is. It's like when something bad happens at a house, you know, something so fucking awful, like a really tragic murder that is more tragic than, say, I don't know, if there is such a thing as a normal murder. Do you know what I mean? Like the stuff of horror films, you know, it tints those houses. So, for example, you know, like Fred West, the serial killer, the British serial killer.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well, the house where him and his wife killed loads of, like, young women. And it was, like, on a terraced house, so it was connected to other houses. Had to be demolished because nobody would, you know. So things that happen that are bad do leave...
Yes,
and energy,
energetic.
Whether that's just, and who knows what it is, you know, whether it's just the memories of people and it just lingers on and becomes almost like an urban legend, or whether it
but
is
then
actual.
It's like its own energy now.
Yeah.
It's like its own thing. It's not, it's like a separate, its own.
Yeah,
thing.
And, you know, so for example, when I talk about animism, and I'm talking about animism to people who perhaps live in cities, and I'm talking about spirits of place, it's easy to think of, you know, all of the nature and fauna, spirits and all of that kind of stuff. Great. But then towns and cities and those busy areas also have a spirit of place, often made up by human activity and the cycles and flows and the events that happen there. So, you know, it does happen.
Yeah. For sure. It totally happens. I mean, you can even think of it in its, like, I often think of it in its opposite, but the same exact thing, like two sides of a coin,
mm-hmm.
right? Have you ever gone into a church?
Like, well, yes.
A church, and some of it, there's a different energy in there.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, different energy in there. And so... those are like some of the probably not all churches, but like some churches are filled with like kind of like a really nice vibe feeling, even if you're not into like religion, the vibe that is like the energy that you get in there is usually very positive.
Yeah.
Because people are there to do hopeful things, to like do all the stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So if that can happen, why can't like something super horrible that happened have it turn into its own energy thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it does. And in that way, you know, that's how places, you might say a place becomes cursed, or, you know.
Which is, but like, I don't know. I sound like such a like a cuckoo banana sometimes, because I'm just like, that is why it's so important. I'm serious, for everybody to start like learning energy work and working with themselves, because if you are going places and you don't know your own energy, how are you going to know the other energies that are around you? Like I'm not saying like, oh, everybody should be scared, because I don't that.
But
I'm not,
you know,
scared. But it's nice to know, so that you can disengage with it instead of interacting with it for a while and then being like, ah, shit.
Well, you know, it goes back to duality and all of that shit, you know.
Yeah.
If, oh, shit, I forgot what I was going to say.
I just think it's important to do energy
work. Oh, I remember.
Like, yeah.
All right. I was going to say that, you know, if you're looking at cursing, then you have to also look at the opposite, which is protective magic.
Yes.
You know, In real life, if magic ain't your jam, then, you know, setting boundaries with people or situations that you are not happy with and that drain you, you know, that is a form of protecting yourself against whatever.
People do it with meditation, religion, yeah. witchcraft. I mean, there's all these different ways, yoga, like that we learn to kind of hold these energies.
And I found that a lot of people use lots of those different ways. And it's like layers, you know.
Yeah, like I think sometimes people think witch has to mean like spells and potions and shit.
I mean, and it
which
can,
I think
I'm sure.
Great.
Because that is awesome.
Which I think is great. But it's also like, what about all the other really important shit?
Yeah.
Like shadow work so that you can understand what you want to do and put out. Like what, where's your moral compass?
Yeah,
you
know,
decide. What is
it's all well
it
and good
decide?
If you perhaps, I don't know, set wards or have a protective charm or a witch bottle buried in your yard. But if you go out and you leave your front door open, you know, you're asking for trouble. Should you be able to? Yes, in an ideal world, but it's not a fucking ideal world, and people will rob your shit.
You know? We're so gonna get up in each other's energy, in each other's business.
Yeah,
you can't help it unless you never leave the house, which is allowed now. It's allowed. Yeah.
But
like and hate it.
Yeah, and the actions that you take on one level should also be matched in other areas as well. So you know, if you do magic work, then you would do the magic. All of that stuff, the witch bottles, because all of that's, I love doing witch bottles.
I do too. I laugh because it's not, I love doing all that stuff. I like growing my own herbs and making my own teas and like doing all this. I really love it.
Yeah.
But it also is like requires so much more than just like reading.
Just the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't require, do whatever. You just want to do a potion. That's fucking great. I'm full of shit. I also, I do think that it is important that people like figure out their own, who am I? What is my moral compass? Yeah. What do I want to put out in the world? And
you
how
have to
do I
want to
interact with the world? Because if you're going to go around interacting with the world like you're an asshole, you're going to get shit back that is not pleasant. You know what I mean? So we all have to figure that out. What kind of person we want to be interacting with the world.
Yeah.
Because I have been in places where I interacted with the world and I was not doing a very good job. You know, and it's like that, we're like, what could possibly go wrong now? Everyone is cursing me. My wheat has been blighted by that witch.
Or if you're the kind of person who does practice like a magical, or you have a magical practice, you know, and you find yourself throwing out curses for, you know, the slightest thing, perhaps it's time to just consider, you know,
something's wrong with your life right
now.
Yeah,
to have a look inwards and do all of that important work. You know.
That's why it's so, I'm seriously, like, that is why I think the left-hand path is the most important thing. For me, I don't care. Everyone else is different. It might not be the most important thing for like half of people or like listening to me. But for me, the left-hand path was a way for me to do all this shadow work, to get to know my like moons, like the reflective parts of me, and then to get to know myself better. So whenever I come in contact with energies or these people, right? People, I say energies because I just mean like spirits of all kinds, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I am in contact with that stuff, then I feel better in my responses. So I'm not like reacting because I did all this work. And that's what I found through the left-hand path. Like, and then I was like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because on the surface, it's easy to look at the left-hand path and think that it just means, you know, choosing to do as you will, you know, it's easy to
make that
kind of cliched snap judgment of it. But what does that really look like? You know, it looks like doing that shadow work. It looks like doing all of that work on the self, because ultimately, you know, the idea is that you have, you know, it's about garnering that will to do all of those things that you truly want, but in that way that is not just
that, so like
that level, you know, that base level. It's not that base thing.
Well, like the do what thou will. The truth is we all can do what thou will. We're all doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it depends on the thing that I am thinking is it depends on actually knowing if it's your will or the will of some traumatic event that happened when you were a kid. And now you're kind of not acting only from your own self. You're reacting with like that actual person at mm-hmm. that time's perspective. And then,
yeah, or, well, you know, it's
the
like
culture's perspective, the this, what, whose will is it? Is it well, actually yeah, well, yours?
The thing is as well, do what thou will does not mean do what the fuck you want, regardless of the consequences, you know.
But it depends on, like, if somebody wants to do that, it's not going to turn out. Like, I do think that people do... I'm not
in
even
terms
talking
of
about magic
cult,
practitioners.
Like,
I'm not talking yeah. about magic practitioners. I'm just talking about everybody in their own life. I think the one thing we... Dude, you can go out and do whatever. It might end up in your death. It
well,
might
yeah.
end up in this or that. But, like, so in order to get to the place where you actually can create something that you want,
yeah.
you have to think about what it is that you want instead of what it is that kind of have molded into what you want. Does that make,
yeah.
like,
well, some yeah, of the that stuff is basically is, what,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
You examine all of that when, or you should at least, when you do shadow work.
Please try.
When you do all of the, you know, because witchcraft and all of those things, it's such a layered thing. It's so nuanced. You can't just describe it in a few words. You know, that's why it's easier. I think that's why it's easy. You see a lot on social media. It's easy to say what something isn't. And much harder to really capture the essence of what it actually is. That's why you see a lot of hot takes on Twitter and TikTok and that kind of stuff.
And
where
that's
people
why
say
you
shouldn't
listen.
Do this and you shouldn't do that. Because it's very easy to say that. Much harder to kind of pinpoint what actually something is.
Well, I think it's annoying when people are like, a hex is this.
Yeah.
The end. Or a curse is this. And then it's just like one thing. And they're like, I don't know, guys.
I know.
I think that's way more.
But then saying that, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to look at like oldie worldie and old time curses and hexes. They're fucking great. Oh my God, the Irish ones are class. They are fantastic.
My sister-in-law got me this crazy ass witch book, and it does have like, and it's from the 60s, and it's, there's really crazy recipes in there, man. One has like a dead cat.
Well, I really like the Irish ones because of their simplicity, you know, and because like it goes back to what is a spell. If you think about a spell and how it links to what words are and work, because words have power, and that's why spells are called spells, because they have, you know, words linked with actions and
yes, some people call them intentions, you
yeah.
know, it's the
so
same
the Irish ones are usually, they're usually said, or they used to be said, and then spat on the ground where the poor person had walked afterwards, you know, to kind of seal the deal. But like some of my, there's some great ones out there, and they're usually condemning someone to hell, you know. So for example, may the devil cut the head off you and make a day's work of your neck. May you die without a priest in the town with no clergy. And of course, if you are really religious, that, you know, that's quite a dire curse.
Yes, you're being damned to hell.
Yeah. My particular favorite, though, is may your obituary be written in weasel's piss.
What?
So I like that aspect. I like the simplicity of it. And I like the kind of oral tradition of them. And I like how they're almost folk magic in that a lot of folk magic in the British Isles is often linked to Christianity. In that, you know, you
yeah.
get a lot of written curses or protection from curses that are written on scraps of paper and carried upon the person, you know, as counter to curses. So it's really interesting. I'm such a nerd about that kind of stuff. So fascinating.
I love that curses are like tiny little poems or like rituals that are small for one person, but also like huge scale. You know, like it's such a diverse thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, I am going to attempt to manipulate this energy, or I'm going to attempt to manipulate. It's like all, it feels like it's about, because, but also like, is freezing someone or binding someone, is that, you said that's considered baneful. Is it considered a curse though?
Well, this is where you get down into the fine print of it. So, you know, there will be some people who would argue that a curse is purely not done in... So it's, you know, some people will say that a curse is purely for spite, you know, to spite someone. They've not done anything to you. You just want to fuck with them because you don't like them, or just because they've done something and you've taken offence where none was, you know, for whatever reason, you want to be petty. So there'll be some people that argue that that is a curse. There'll be some people who say, no, a curse is if you do anything that affects someone negatively, whether it's deserved or otherwise, it's still baneful magic. Whether they would consider it a curse, again, it comes down to what people's definitions are. So, you know, generally. Yeah,
and we should all allow for a lot of definitions and not be like, it has to be this one thing, because we should allow for other people to have different definitions, because it's not that cut and dry. And we don't understand where people are coming from. So, like, just coming straight out of the gate that it's this thing, it means this. Not that I'm saying people are doing that.
Yeah.
I guess what I am suggesting is when people do that,
context is a good thing. Yeah. You know, to know what you are actually talking about, because I feel like on social, and I talk about social media a lot, because it's a lot of, it's where a lot of people connect, especially if you don't have a lot of these real life occult connections and you want to like discuss and get involved in all of that stuff. So, you know, social media does have its benefits, but it also doesn't allow, or it doesn't give people the tools to really have that nuanced debate, because all too often people take offense and they can't really convey what they mean, or people just want to take offense because they don't want to listen to what somebody else is saying, you know,
or they just like, they, no one takes the time to fully understand one person's argument from their perspective.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, from my perspective, that's your piece of shit. But you don't know all the stuff. And I'm not trying to be all like, we all need, but I do think that it seems like we need to make sure that we are paying attention to what's really happening in our own lives,
mm-hmm.
for a barometer of what we think about the world, and not what you're seeing in the news or on social media.
I think it's easy for people to get defensive, because in life, generally, we are defensive. We're always trying to, you know.
In Oregon, everyone's passive aggressive.
Yeah, and it spills over into areas where it would be helpful if we weren't.
Yeah. Yes. Because I don't want to, like, spend... Sometimes I talk to people and they want to spend the whole time like talking about something they're outraged about. I'm just like, I'm sick of it.
I know. But you know, it's kind of, sometimes you need to get it out of your system, and perhaps that is, so even if you don't think curses work, it could be that it's kind of cathartic, you know. It's stress relieving. You know, if you think about some of the folk curses that are particularly gruesome, you know, for example, there's an old folk curse about if you want to, well, not necessarily a curse. It could be, I suppose, depends on your definition. It's baneful magic anyway. So it's either to stop someone talking about you. You don't like someone, keep my fucking name out of your mouth, bitch. All of that stuff, you know. So what you do is you get a tongue, a cow's tongue from the butchers, and it grosses people out, but people still do eat that. So you get a cow's tongue before it's rolled flat and sliced up for your sandwich, if you know.
If you're going to do it, if you're going to go for cow tongue. Are you?
if that's on the menu. So anyway, and then you put the person's name in and you don't want to talk about them, and then you get some coffee nails and then you kind of roll the tongue up and hammer it shut with the nails. Pretty gross, you know, but there's also that kind of release from that of, you know, getting that, putting that effort in, and whether you believe it or not, whether the person.
But that one in particular is only just asking for people to keep your name out of their mouth.
Yeah, right? but you know, how could you use that? Say like you'd done something bad and you didn't want anyone to tell. You know,
you're so right.
Nuance, ooh. You know. So again, it depends on, you know. There's different.
You are right. I am thinking lollipops and sunshine over here. That shit happens all the day long. I mean, maybe not with a cow tongue and a nail,
yeah.
But like definitely with social media.
Yeah, you know, but you know, so there's that kind of the energy to them where it's just a release of tension, of stress. You do it, and then so the idea behind doing any kind of spell work, as I was always taught, is you do it and then you kind of forget about it and let those energies kind of, whatever you want to call it, manifest, spread into the universe, work your will, whatever term you use.
It feels like you're claiming yourself in these things.
Yeah.
Though. Like you're claiming your power over your own existence. Like, and I, that's why I like them.
Me too. They're fun. Or they can be fun, I suppose, if you're not on the receiving end of one.
Yeah. Well, I only think that they're useful for like, in my own personal practice, like I've frozen people, you know, in the freezer, like leave me alone. And I only mean it in a way, the intention is there. I might have Paul take this out. The intention, I have done things where I want people's, and I just like want people to not, I want to be done. I know.
Yeah.
I just, my boundaries.
Yeah, you
were
want
set,
to be over it.
And I said that the boundary is here, and that person's energetically not listening.
Yeah.
And I can wait it out. It's fine. But I'd rather not. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm only trying to like freeze that connection. I don't care about the rest of the stuff. I'm not.
Yeah.
I just don't want that.
And it comes back to the debate about. Part of, you know, these things being tools. They're simply tools, you know, whether they're good or bad, whether you see them as curses or not, simply depends on the person using them, you know.
Exactly. And we know lots of people I think are great, but some people are horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So you better fucking learn about this shit so that you could, like, make sure you're, like, confident in yourself because – I'm not saying like little tiny witches are going around cursing everybody, but like
they probably are somewhere.
You know, we are all susceptible to other people's shit coming towards us, and it might not be directly intended for us as an individual, but it could be intended for us as a member of a group or a part. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Just subtle manipulations, and we all want to be able to notice that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. It would be my dream come true if I could meet a really awesome, like, witch or magician or wizard, whatever, person. I don't know. Magical person that had such good glamours that I could see them with and without. I want to see something like that. I've never seen anybody do anything, and I want to. I feel like I know it exists. Can I be in your circle of seeing it? I won't tell only the amount of people that listen to this podcast. I'll tell them about it. What do you think? That would make my life feel so good. Because I do think that people use, like, but it like, is long-term skincare. Is that magic?
Well, why not? So, for example, when we have our book club later on, this month,
Yes,
the
the
fourth
Red
Sunday of every
Goddess.
month, when you read through that and you begin to look at Babylon and what she represents, and there is, it does go into kind of the tools of the trade and, glamour magic and the act of makeup and, the whole idea of using masks, if we, use makeup as an analogy as a mask, by putting makeup on. And nowadays you can do a lot with makeup, so it's like you're putting on a mask. And there is a tradition of using masks in magic, to either invoke different spirits or deity, or magical masks in magic is a thing. So there's that aspect of it. So come along to the book club for that particular
And I'm laughing as I
discussion.
said, that just reminded me. I was like, yeah, of course. I've seen those transformations of some of like people with lots of glamour magic. Of we all
Yeah.
have like 100 million times.
Look at the history,
Like all
if you
these
look at
famous
the Book
people
of
and
Enoch and how the fallen angels, the watchers or whatever you want to call them, they taught women, the art of, changing how they look, the shaping of the eyebrows, the using of eyeliner, it talks about that stuff in there. So absolutely.
And we've seen people publicly have this one side. So, like, as far as we can tell, like they project this is who they are. And then something happens. I don't know, like Bill Cosby, or like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like
Well,
really
yeah.
horrible people that like projected this false. I mean, that's glamour magic, right? I mean,
Yeah,
shit.
it's the negative side of it. And it goes back to when is it good and when is it bad? When does something start being positive and start being negative, if you want to use that analogy? Or do you know what I mean? So
Yeah, like
it's such
hiding
a.
yourself with glamour magic seems could like it could be useful for like
Yeah.
people who are othered
A
and
boost
are
of your confidence. Who doesn't want a boost in comp, use it to kind of scam people and catfish them? Not so good. So yeah.
totally.
So it's such an interesting discussion though. And it kind of leads you down a rabbit hole of lots of different areas.
So, thanks, Emma, for hanging out with me and talking
Oh, it was
about
such
this.
fun. Thank you. It's one of my
Yeah.
favorite subjects. I love this shit.
I love it too. I love that everybody, I love that everybody can have different ideas about what stuff is, and then we like learn other people's. I just think it's
Yeah,
fun.
and and one doesn't have to negate the other. They can all
Exactly.
exist simultaneously and
Yeah,
have
they can
merit.
be totally. I love it. All right.
Me too.
We'll talk to you guys soon or
Yeah, thanks
sometime.
everyone. Come along to the book club too.
Yep, bye.